بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. What is deen all about? Deen is adab. Tasawwuf is adab. And what is adab? Adab is what is to be done at which time. Person, time and occasion. Understand the person, understand the occasion, understand the time. When you work that out, inshallah, you'll have the right understanding of deen. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, when he had abandoned the kingdom of Balkh, he made out that they are rights of Allah Ta'ala. And it won't seem that I can fulfill the rights of Allah Ta'ala. To be making that level of shukr, understanding Allah Ta'ala, serving Him, and simultaneously to be running the kingdom of Balkh, I don't think I'll manage the both. So hence, I rather abandon the kingdom, forsake the kingdom, and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the end of my life. So different people see things in different ways. We've been living a very lavish life. Palace attendance, without exaggeration, at any time, 500 attendants. His special quarter apartment where he's living, in the palace, everything is draped with gold, bed, the couch, everything with gold. And overlooking a garden, streams, beautiful roses, plants, sweet-smelling flowers, the whole room is perfumed with musk, etc. So it's too beautiful. But that's the beginning. That he's got so many attendants, then he's as though he's just turning gold all the time. So wealthy. Now he saw that side of life, enjoyment, pleasure, wealth, and then he struck him now, what about the rights of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Pak inspired him. Different people get inspired in different ways. Right? It's just for the man to appreciate that inspiration of Allah Ta'ala. Normally, the way of Allah Ta'ala is, the one that is serious, is concerned, then Allah Ta'ala takes him on. مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى أَمَّا مَنْ بَخِيلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. So, ittaqa comes against istaghna. And istaghna means he's not concerned. I'm self-sufficient, so I'm not concerned about. So ittaqa here will mean he's concerned, really concerned about the qabr, the next life, the rights of Allah Ta'ala, who Allah Ta'ala is, and what are his obligations. So he's really concerned. So the one that has got some concern, and its concern becomes more and more serious, then his whole life, his whole attitude changes. One thing and the second thing and the third, everything changes. But then that's left to the level of concern he's got. If the concern is small, then for a few days it will last, and then it weakens down. Comes Ramadan, becomes a good person, and then slips again. Some boys were discussing the beard for the imam. So it comes now, this masalah comes around Ramadan time. Because those youngsters that did the hijabs, they either got no beards or they got designer beards. But now it's a question of them doing tarawih. Their parents insist that they must do tarawih. And they insist that they can't keep the beards. Then comes Ramadan now, the Fadl ibn design a beard, and are they suitable candidates for imamate? So The best scenario is the beard was full at the time of Taraweeh, right? Then I personally, I said, no, don't appoint such a person as an imam. Because his tawbah is suspended to after the, to the end of Taraweeh. After Taraweeh, then you're going to shave again. So you can't keep such a person as an imam. You know, and the whole crowd knows, that his tawbah is still when? Till the end of the Taraweeh. And after the Taraweeh, he's going to shave off his beard again. So that is not a perfect tawbah. Because tawbah requires, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَعْبُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. You're making tawbah and you're correcting yourself. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَعْبُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. And this person is making a mockery here. Came Ramadan, and because I have to read the Taraweeh, therefore I will keep a beard. Say for example now, for some reason, one year he couldn't do the Taraweeh. So will he keep the beard? No, he won't keep the beard. But the beard is just for him to become eligible to perform the namaz. So this is became a mockery. He doesn't have the concern. When he doesn't have the concern, that he's not eligible. Can't put him on the musalla. You go read your own Taraweeh somewhere else, behind someone, but don't come into the masjid and lead the namaz, spoiling the namaz of the others. Tawbah also got a procedure. You can't just say, well, I made tawbah now, finished. See, for some people, the tawbah required a 50 days boycott. Then the tawbah was accepted. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. After going through this constraint of 50 days, then was the tawbah descended. ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. So this constraint, when it came, this constraint came when there was a social boycott. Nobody could talk to them, they couldn't talk and mix up with anybody. So, in different situations, the tawbah will require some different procedures. For them it was required, that they are boycotted for 50 days. Then you find that there is a case of zina. So, in the day of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the judgment is nafir am, 1 year, and you will be not only boycotted, thrown out of the town. You're thrown out of the, banished of the town, 1 year, because we punished you and we allowed you to come back. And in a few days, you'll slip again into that same wrong. But now that wrong of yours must go deep into your heart. I've done a serious misdemeanor and I need to be punished seriously. So he's gone out, 1 year out, for that one act of zina. So now it'll really dawn on him, but I can't play around. The first offense, and first offense I was thrown out, what's going to happen now? He's going to be very concerned about it. Otherwise the law of Allah Ta'ala will be taken as a joke. So you go out, get out. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he passed away. So his sister was mourning and crying. Noha. Noha is to lament. Lament like you shout and you cry. Beat your chest, pull your hair, scratch yourself, your face. So that's called Noha. So it was now the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he asked her to go out of Medina. Go out. Now being the sister of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then she was involved in this, she couldn't manage it, but irrespective, go out. So tawbah will have different procedures for different situations. What's appropriate for which type of situation? And now let's put him onto the track. One person, it's the month of Ramadan, and it is now around this time, see, about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, when the people that are in the masjid, they will be doing the individual ibadat, Quran Sharif or whatever else. Some were making dua, some were making Quran Sharif tilawat. So it was a newly graduated Maulana. He's newly graduated, so he's reciting Quran Sharif on spot. Then he just got up and he went and sat next to some other person. But Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah is sitting in the back. He called for him. Came. Why did you leave your place and sit at that spot? He said, no, I thought that my back is facing you. So I came up from my place, I sat here. Mawlana says that it doesn't answer my question. My question is, why did you sit next to him? You left the spot, alright, you respected, and out of respect, you didn't want your back to be facing me. But then, what was the need for you to sit next to this person here? So now he doesn't know what to say. So Mawlana asked him, alright, by you sitting next to him, did you create a little bit of a... did you invade his privacy? See, when a person is reading Quran Sharif, or is making dua, or is making zikr, and many a times he wants some privacy. So in a dua he wants to cry. He wants to be behaving in a certain way, right? And you are sitting right next to him, then he may not feel that type of freedom as he would have. He won't find that freedom, can't express himself. So you invading the privacy, right? Haven't you done this? Yes, I've done this. So why do you invade his privacy? So it's a ghalati ho gayi. Alright. So now, ghalati ho gayi, to phir kya karna chahiye, what must you do? So now, what I'll do is I'll go and put all the musallis' shoes right. I'll put all their shoes right. So no, that's not a, it's not a penalty, it's not a solution. Because you're going to put the shoes right, then the musallis will say, hey, what a tawazu person is. So much of tawazu, what a humble person this person is. Can't say, buzurg humare ha pohunch gaye. Now, Bara Maulana sahab is putting all the shoes right there. So, that is not going to earn you the correction. Or, then I'll clean all the drains. See, the drains in India is a bit different to our drains, right? So, they find all the mucus all collected at one spot. So I'll, with all my hands, that is even worse. Because if the shoes was wrong, shoes people will consider you as a humble person, so this will consider you to be even more humble. Now, abjo farmai, whatever you say. Or saza, may tajweez karu. How can this happen? Your mistake, and I must prescribe the type of penalty. You made a mistake, so you suggest. See now, it's not an ordinary person one is talking to. He's talking to a Maulana. He's talking to a Maulana, so he's opening his mind, you see. Understand the mistake, understand the consequence, how to rectify yourself. Because a Maulana's responsibility is far greater than an ordinary person. Tabligh Jamaat, when they make tashkil for the public, they say 4 months. An alim, 1 year. Why? Because the responsibility is greater. You have to see things, see it properly, correctly. Go and see, open your eyes, understand circumstances, situations, which strokes for which folks. All this, you must know all these things here. So, if you got some time, you're seeing things properly, correctly, then you arrive to the right conclusion. But you didn't see it properly. You saw it a few days you stayed in Jamaat, and you thought you saw everything. Then you may make a blunder. In one occasion, the Amir Sahib said something. So that was not an absolute law. It was just a law for that moment. And you thought it's an absolute law. You must go by that. So that was only restricted to that situation. It wasn't something general that you can generalize. Now, because you only saw one side of the picture, so you considered that to be a general law, and you applied it, and things went off. So the responsibility of an alim is far greater. Now, Mullah is asking, now, what's the punishment? So he's exhausted. Shoes, trains, everything is exhausted. So the most difficult thing is to say, now you've got marching orders, go out. That's the most difficult thing. Right? Imagine if someone was told, yeah, get out. How you feel? Is it easy? Just you stay 20 days, 24 days, and they say, hey, right, move. How you feel? So, like I say now, see that the wrong and the penalty, there must be some relationship. Because the idea of a penalty is, you must feel it a little bit. And it must be a correction for the future. That this mistake will not be repeated in the future. But if it's just a small thing, they say, alright, I'll just have to make maaf and I can carry on. I just ask maaf and I can carry on. I can repeat it. How many times I can repeat it? It's just a small procedure. I'll go through it. So now he's lost all suggestions. So he says, alright, then I'll go out of the khanqa. Yeah, this is right. This will really, it's going to take the toll on you, right? So where you'll go to? So I'll go to Lohari. But you don't go to Lohari, you go to Jalalabad. Because you got this Imam Musiullah Sahib, he'll take care of you. Right. Now he went, and he related the whole story. It was Aziz Rahmatullah, this is what happened here, what I did, and so Hazrat explained. See, this is Islah. This is that Qadaf laha man tazakka, it's tazkiyah. So that tazkiyah happens in different ways. This purity and correction is not one stereotype thing. For a different situation, there's a different tazkiyah, a different purification process, right? Your hands are soiled, then you wash, right? But if it's grime, then you take some soap, right? If it's a stain, then you take some jik, right? So, now different situations, and you're applying different approaches, right? If accidentally the child had taken some poison, right, then you will flush the system. You can't put jik into the child. Although, in one situation, jik was the right thing, but yeah, for the child, now you put jik inside, you'll kill the child. You just seen one side of the story. No, you put jik there, and came right. So now, you put jik here, and come right. See this? This is one room around place explaining this qiyas, you know, you coming to your own conclusions, analyzing own analysis can be difficult, can be dangerous. He has given one story about this analysis, you know, how you can be wrong in your analysis. And Sheikh Sadi has given a different example. Both have given examples for the same thing. Because you know, they come for Islah, and everybody wants to put his own 5 cents for the Islah. I did this now, let me go and get my Islah done. The story one room has given is a pharmacist. So in the old days, the pharmacist used to carry very, very expensive medication. Like pure rose now. What you got rose is not pure, it's diluted. Pure one is just a small bottle, maybe 5,000 rand, so much. Pure, absolutely pure. So you can imagine now if he's carrying a amount of rose, etc. for that medication, all mixed, all that, then it makes up the medication. Right? Now, he had a parrot in his shop. And the paradise to entertain all the customers. Customers feel too nice. Hey, that he's talking to us. So it will draw clientele as well. And it makes it interesting for the owner, for the customers. Everybody feels very, very entertained. Now it happened that there was a rat that went in the pharmacy and the cat followed it. When the cat followed it, that parrot got a shock of anger. Then he tried to escape. But when he tried to escape, it dropped one expensive oil, like how you got oud now, a big jar of oud oil, and I think spilled the thing. Hey, now spilled it, the whole place got messed up. Now the boss comes in and he sees that the oud is gone. What happened? Now he inspects that bird, that tota, and he saw that thing crossed it. So he smashed it on the head. Smashed it so bad, it became bald now, no hair, no feather on the head. Now he got no feather on the head now. So he's got it in the shop and he's trying to make it talk, make it speak. But that thing will not just give in, not speaking. Medication, making dua, trying to spoil the thing, everything that he could spoil, it was, you know, every type of food, some pictures, and whatever he could do to try and entice the thing, but that thing was not just giving. They said, I had a parrot, why did I do this? Why did I have to hit this thing here? He's reprimanding himself, why did I have to hit this thing here now? See what's happened. Customers are coming, they are feeling entertained. I'm not feeling comfortable. See, what a mistake I have made. Anyway, after some months now, one bald person came into the shop. For all these days, he didn't talk. When that baldy came in, now that parrot is speaking. You also dropped the oil for you to be bald. See the reasoning. Reasoning is off, isn't it? Now the whole shop began to laugh because see this is reasoning. See the reasoning. We don't have that understanding. Nobody wants to accept that I don't have the ability to reason right. Everyone says, no, I can read between the lines, I can reason. I went to school, all that. Keep your school fees with you, but you don't have that ability to reason. Simple things, you can't reason. That's a story now, Mawlana Rumi has given, to explain reasoning, right? He's showing now, and when you have a problem now, you have to reason, analyze, and come to a conclusion. But now everybody can't do it. Sheikh Sadiq gives another incident. So, two people are at the college now, and one friend is catching it in the street, so it's hitting him. As the person is punching him, so he holds his friend's hand. Now the one that is punching him even more, because his hands are tied now. When his hands are tied, this person has got a chance to loosen him a little more. You know? So he's asking, "But why you did this? I was catching it, and you came and held my hands. You got the chance to hit me even more." He said, "No, man. See, we learned in the sabak, dost aabayad ke girat daste dost, dar paresha hala wadar mandagi." He says, "Who's a friend? Friend is the one who holds the hands of a friend. Whether he's in trouble, whether he's in a good state, but he holds the hand." Now you see the reasoning. But the reasoning was all off. Everybody feels, "No, I got that reasoning. I can understand. People must come and tell me." See, they'll see where they go after that. Anyway, we're talking about the story of this penalty. You see, the penalty must be according to the crime. The idea is to get that person to understand, make him understand, this is the wrong you've done, and there mustn't be a repetition to this. Now when this person said, "No, I'll go to Jalalabad and stay there for a few days," So Hazrat agreed. He went and he wrote a letter. I messed it up. I'm that person. I caused this problem. I asked for an apology and I won't do it again. I said, right. Hazrat said, that sab maaf hai aur dil saaf hai. Aap wapas chale aao. Everything is maaf. My heart is clear for you. Now you may come through. But I looked at this story here. I heard this several times from Hazrat Ram Tarsa. I'm thinking, right, let's put him through that procedure, right? So what's the philosophy, the hikmat in that? See, for just making zikr, won't he have escalated even more? So he won't have escalated more. Because the nafs of his would have swelled more. See, I'm such a pious person here, and my mistakes are just overlooked. See, I'm such a pious person. And here now he had to humble himself, lower himself. And this is this was the obstruction or impediment in the life of Shaitan. This was the problem. He was weak, there was no short of ibadah. Some tafsirs have brought it. There wasn't a place in the heavens where Shaitan did not pray. He prayed so much. But what he couldn't do is ask for an apology. To bow down. He couldn't do that much. When he couldn't do that, he's thrown out. Some awliya say, now, they may have got the sanad, but we don't have the sanad, so we can just relate it, refer it to them. Musa alayhi salam is en route to the Tur. He's en route to the Tur to receive a revelation. En route, he sees a person crying for no more, like a river of tears, he's crying away. Old person and crying away. Why? Tumara kya musibat, what's your problem? He says, I'm Shaitan, so what's your problem? No man, all you people are going to Jannat, I'm going to go to Jahannam. So you are going to Allah Ta'ala, can't you make a request for me, intercede on my behalf. That I get maffed also. All of you are going to Jannat and I'm getting left here. No problem, I'll take your plea, I'll take it to Allah Ta'ala, I'll take it to Allah Ta'ala as well. Well, as I'm communicating, so I will take that as well. Alright. See procedure. So, the rectification is what a certain procedure. It's not one standard procedure. A different person, it's a different procedure. For that person. So anyway, the wahi had ended and Musa alayhi salam slipped and he didn't mention that. So Allah Ta'ala reminded him, said, hey, that someone met you on the road there and he had a request, that Iblis man. He spoke about getting maafed and all that. So Allah Ta'ala's instruction was, alright, if he couldn't bow down to Adam alayhi salam, ask him to bow down to Adam alayhi salam's grave. Came in, your message was conveyed, yes. What Allah Pak had to say? Said, bow down to his grave, or showing your remorse, showing the wrong that you have done, bow down. So now, see that haughtiness, see this pride. This pride. That pride, to kill that pride is not an easy thing. We think it's an easy thing to destroy that pride. So now Iblis is saying, how can I ever do such a thing? When the man was alive, I didn't bow down for him. Now when he's gone, I must bow down for him. How can I ever do such a thing for him? In the meanwhile, Shaitan says, see, I met a pakka muwahid. What? I met a pakka muwahid. My tawheed is implanted so deep. I don't make sajda for ghairullah, see. See that? You see that though? I don't make sajda for ghairullah. And my tawheed is so powerful. But now that tawheed is his definition. See, it's his own definition. That's the problem. Your own, you define, redefine, redefine. That's where everything goes. You don't want to humble, don't want to listen, don't want to accept. But that's where everything cracks, everything breaks. This morning I was explaining, Mullah, Aisha radiallahu, and Amr ibn As radiallahu, he was appointed as an Amir, right? And Jamaat was Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu. So now, it was the Muslim's way that in a majlis you show everybody equal respect. This person here, everybody. So when Nabi says made him the Amir, show him some love, now he thought, now he's the favorite, you see. So he asked Nabi Sassam, who's the most famous? Thinking, now, maybe my name will come up. You know. So Nabi Sassam said, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And amongst the men, Abuha, her father. Now you saw his name is not coming, he said, I'll keep quiet, because I don't know when my name will come. If I come in 100, so I'd rather just keep quiet. Now, the question is, why did Aisha become a favorite? Allah Pak knows that, best, right? But now, from the little understanding that we have, to me it seemed like three things. One is her knowledge. Number two, her application of the knowledge, amal. And number three is mizaj shinas. Understanding the very temperament of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Understanding the temperament. See, you may practice, but you don't have the temperament. You may practice, right? But you don't have you're not mizaj shinas. You don't understand the temperament of that senior. But you have the precise temperament to have. So, in all three, she scored 100, right? Whether it was in her knowledge, because in her knowledge, she is the greatest reporter of hadith amongst women. Is there anybody who reported more hadith than Aisha? She is the greatest reporter. That means she must have taken the Nabi's words very seriously for her to preserve all that hadith that she had heard. Everything. She took it very seriously. So won't Nabi show additional attention that this person is taking me so seriously. Everything that I'm saying, every word, and she's taking it so seriously. So Nabi will show greater concern. Right? So she preserved. Right? Number two was that. Then the application. The application, we may say, taqwa, etc. Right? That how careful, how cautious you are. And you hear that famous hadith with Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, and when she broke that oath, right? Although the reason may be valid, but she understands that it's breaking oath. So scores of slaves she freed just in getting expiated, you know, of that mistake that she's made. So you see the one side is the ilm, then the application. Then the third is the mizaj shinas, to understand the temperament of the senior. That's a very great thing. See, in the Jamaat, this is what is most important, to understand what these Buzran is, what they say. You don't just get it learned. You sit with them, talk to them, understand them. After a period of time, then you're asha, this is what they're getting at. Now, this is our problem today. Everybody says, no, I know it, I got the understanding, I don't need anything further. So everybody feels that. They start making mistakes after that. See, that mizaj, to understand mizaj, it takes time. Someone gets it naturally, just gets it straight. And most people, it takes a lot of time before they get that mizaj. Now look at this one story, right? In the understanding of the mizaj, one is the muhabbat and understanding the temperament. It's not just muhabbat and not just understanding temperament, both. So there is an Ansari woman, and it would seem like she's just come of age, right? And she wanted to know something about getting pak after haze, right? after you come out of your haze, then how you clean yourself, what should you do, right? So khuzi firsatam min al miski fatatahhiri biha, take a piece of musk and cleanse yourself. Kayfa tatahharu, how must I say? Subhanallah tatahhiri biha, subhanallah, cleanse yourself of this. She asked for the third time. Aisha said, I knew what Nabi Sam was talking about. So I took her on the side and I said, this is what Nabi Sam explained. Because she must have thought, now how can you cleanse yourself with a piece of musk? That's what she must have thought. But Aisha understood what Nabi Sam was talking about. That when a person, when a woman is in that state, right, and she has to clean herself, so it's possible that some drop of that blood, right, must have been fallen in some part of the body, right? And normally there's a smell that is given off. And now she needs to clean herself before she meets with her husband, right? If she's meeting with the husband and she's got a smell and all that, then it will put him off. So when you're bathing, then apply that in that spot even more, so that that foul smell is removed. Now you're giving getting a pleasant smell. So if you with your husband with intimacy, you don't feel, the husband doesn't feel any offense. He doesn't feel offense. He doesn't feel hurt. Now, Aisha understood that the business of being a man, he will find it difficult to explain all this nitty-gritty, these finer details. Because it's a man against a woman, and you're talking of personal hygiene. So when it's absolutely personal hygiene, a man will find it difficult to explain to a woman exactly that this is what's the procedure. But for a woman to a woman, okay, I say, alright, this is what Nabi Sam is explaining. So she understood it. And so they couldn't understand, because she was mizaj, she has. See, that temperament was that was right. She understood exactly. But Nabi Sam was explaining, she understood it straight away. And now that mizaj, she has, is how important it is to have that muhabbat and to understand the temperament. There's a delegation of Jews, and this delegation of Jews, in a derogatory manner, instead of saying Assalamu alaikum, they said Assalamu alaikum. Now, Assalamu alaikum is like a swear word, like a curse, right? So Aisha overheard this and she rebuked them. Alaykum as-salam, alaykum as-salam, wa la'natullah, wa ghadabullah, salam on you people, and the curse of Allah Ta'ala, the wrath of Allah Ta'ala on your people. So, Nabi Sam overheard this, and he explained with Aisha, alayki bir-rifq, just be soft, gentle. But Ya Rasulullah, didn't you hear what they said? Yes, I did hear. But all I answered was, alayk. Now see, look at this side of the hadith now. To be naturally upset, right, with something that is derogatory to Nabi Sassan was a requisite of iman, was a requirement of love, isn't it? If your wife is rebuked, or you are rebuked in the presence of your wife, right, must she smile or must she tear? She must feel upset. So she showed the love, right? But she didn't know what to do at that time. They hurled some abuse, so she returned those abuse. Now that was in the spirit of love. So Nabi Sam, he appreciated that in the spirit of love, what you have done was right. But now, with that, there is a superior level of nobility. One is to return the abuse, right? But now, a superior level of nobility, what it requires, that you don't give the same words. Though it is permissible, jaza'u sayyatin sayyatun, right? That's permissible. Right? But a superior level, more refined manners, what is it? Alayk. So whatever greetings you have extended, that greetings be back to you. The greetings that you had extended, may that be returned to you. So now, everything is us, it's finished, closed. But when I have spoken with a lot of consideration, with nobility. I didn't spoil and foul my tongue. I didn't dirty my tongue. I just said, Ali. Now you must understand, no? See what you have done for yourself. Now, the report of the hadith, he says, Aisha, this is what happened, and this is how I answered, and this is how Rasulullah corrected me. Now, that means she was, the muhabbat was in place, and she was also mizaj shanas. She understood the mizaj. So such a person, he or she moves very fast. They move at a tremendous speed. Because they understand exactly what this thing is all about. I don't have to break so much of head with this person yet. Ishara se was so much left there. Like you hear of the story of that Bhatiara, you know. And Bakhtiar Kaki, rahmatullahi, you heard the story. So he saw that Buzurg pacing on the floor, you know, one end to the other end. And he made out that this is the problem. So he didn't have to go and ask, must I make some food, you don't mind, or what's your problem? He understood that he saw someone new, and he made out maybe they're going through some constraints. Let me just take it without him even asking. Because he'll feel more honored. One is I ask, and then he has to say. And the other way is that without him even asking for it, and I take it through, he'll feel honored. And especially when his guest has been honored, then this will bring, it will bring honor to him as well. See? So, what he gained was because of that mizaj shanas. He understood the temperament, understood what is required at that moment, what is required, what is supposed to be done. So they explained, well, to me, when I looked at Mona Ibrahim Sahib Pandur, Rahmat Barakat Mazara, grant him progress from level to level. You will not say that he's a very great alim, right? Ilm, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed him, but from the people of Hazrat Mustafa, he was mizaj shanas. He understood now what is to be done, how it's to be done, at which time. He understood it. So because he was mizaj shanas, now what happened? After that, what happened? The khanka he took control of, and everybody agreed, consensus. And in getting Hazrat's kitabs, his tasnifat, he is most responsible. Mufti Farooq Sahib also was responsible. But to get this thing here, get it rolling, put everything together, all that ulum for that thing to flow, it was his hand. Now this happened when he was mizaj shanas. What does that sheikh want? What he wants, what he would like. This is what he wants. So to understand the temperament, after you understood the temperament, now make a plan, work it out now. All right, this is what he wanted, and now let's work it out. Now this happens in everything. I know this Qari Abdul Rashid Surti, he was one of the shura of Pakistan. Some of you may have seen him or heard of him. So to me, he was a great mizaj shinas to me. Because if there was a problem in any place, right, South Africa or somewhere, wherever there's a problem, then Hazrat Ji and all would say, hey, Abdul Rashid ko bhejo. Isko bhejo, he'll sort it out. Now why did, from all the much better orators there, right, but from everybody, why did Labak, why was he chosen? You go and sort it out. He knows, understands, alright, the halat, and he knows how to fix it. He knows the halat, and he knows how to fix it. So, that person became the mizaj shanas. So he's like a confidant. See? So this is a very great thing to understand the temperament, understand. Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi is in that court case, right, against Qadianism. And that Qadiani, he quoted something, right, and it was out of context. So Shah Sahib said, see, this is out of context, and this appears in this kitab here. And this is how it appears. I think about the hadith, لا يزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين على الحق. Or some hadith that's similar to that, right? And he is now misquoting it, right? And this kitab here. And if that person, that Qadiani, has got the kitab, pass it on to me, I will open it and show it to you. The kitab had to be passed on and Hazrat Shah Sahib. Now, in a court normally, whatever goes on both sides is transcribed. That time they didn't have tape recorders and all that to record the thing straight away. So someone had to transcribe the thing. But Hazrat Shah Sahib was speaking with such eloquence and fluency, the man couldn't even write. He was overawed with the magnanimity of his ilm and the speed he's talking with. References and everything, but what flow he was giving. He could recall. You know, we'll say, alright, this kitab, this hadith appears in Bukhari Sharif. So, you can see how I'm talking, right? On this page here, in the first jild, in this bab, and this is the wording. So, in the meanwhile, the person has got the time to transcribe. But if someone speaks with the flow, like a Tarawih style, it's going to be difficult. So the court requested that if someone can prepare the transcribe and give it to them for their records. And the Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi requested Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi to do this transcribe. So he spent the entire night, and as Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi got up of Fajr, went on to his apartment, Mufti Shafi Sahib, how's it now? That is the last word I'm writing. Shah Sahib was very, very affected. He understood my mizaj. He understood what I was talking about. He wrote it in rough. And now he's got the fine print. And he's prepared the thing. But now, see, he understood the mizaj. And now then you see, Muhammad Shafi Sahib's kitab was getting accepted, you see, everywhere. Yeah, they're quoting him. It's a reference point. But you see this understanding the mizaj, the elder, what he wants, what he would like, everything, he can't spell it out. Sometimes there may be some, he may be ashamed to say something, sir, but it has to be done. He doesn't, he feels ashamed because he feels that he's imposing now. This man, will he manage it? Won't he manage it? But if it is done, it will be good. Now that man got the mizaj, so for him to do it, but then that person scores too much. So we're talking about Aisha, she was at mizaj shanas. She understood exactly. What will be someone? She's got the love, she's got the mizaj. She's got the love, she's got the mizaj. And that is why you find, because she's got the love and she's got the mizaj, in that final illness, her Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to be nursed at her Aisha's place. Because when you are in a state of illness, then you want to be not only physically relaxed, but mentally and emotionally relaxed as well, most. So all the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they're very good and very kind. But the level of Aisha was different. The level of her understanding, her mizaj. So he will feel even more relaxed while she's with her Aisha radiallahu anha. So when you're not feeling well, then you don't want, like a stranger comes, you have to put up a little bit of a front, right? A friend comes, you have to put up a front. But now, someone that you are very, very relaxed, there's no formality there. Then you're just your natural self. So at that time you want that person to be around, so you can be totally informal. Now you've got a little bit of a formality, now how you feel. Say now, if you're not feeling well, right? And your start comes in. How will you feel? You don't feel free. And you need to feel free at that time. Because what you're going through, you need to feel very relaxed. I suppose in the ICU also, when a person is a little bit serious, here only one family member, or only some close family members must. Because they understand now, perhaps his blood pressure may just pick up. When there's a stranger coming in, some pressure reading or something may just pick up. Because now he has to put up a front in the presence of that stranger, as compared to the family member. Family member is now understood now. You don't feel that feeling of unfamiliarity as compared to a family member. Allah maktufi nasib kida.